You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Coverage and is subject to policy terms.
Happy holidays again, everyone, and welcome into the Gym Class at KGYM on this Tuesday, the 21st of December. Scott Unash with you, Ben on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes joining me coming up in just a moment. We got a good show for you. We will talk with Adam Rittenberg, senior writer for ESPN.com, covering college football. We'll do that in a little bit. Talk Iowa State. We'll talk about the Bulls, the college football playoff, etc. All things college football. We'll do that with Adam coming up in the back half of the program here today. Also, take a look at Iowa and southeastern Louisiana coming up tonight. The Iowa women in action as we speak against Uipui, I-U-P-U-I. The Fighting Jags are in Iowa City today. We'll talk about that, a little wrestling, and the NFL, which played last night and is going to be playing tonight as well. Love to hear from you on the text line, 319-366-1600. 319-366-1600. That is our text line available to you. And you can also pick up the phone and give us a call at 319-366-1600. Listening in today, 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids. In Iowa City, it's 106.3 FM, as well as the KGYM radio stream, KGYM mobile app, and your smart speaker as well. NFL football, rare Tuesday games coming up tonight. Sounds like that will not be the case next week, no matter what happens. As far as the National Football League is concerned, is Mr. Mark Dukes joining me on this Tuesday afternoon. Howdy, sir.
Good afternoon, Scott.
If I would have told you back in early September that going into a Tuesday night game on December the 21st, the Washington football team would have, as their two quarterbacks tonight, Garrett Gilbert and Kyle Shermer. What would your response be?
I would have thought there'd be it would have been more likely that the football team came up with a nickname.
Or it was the Washington Generals playing the Globetrotters in basketball. That is not a joke, ladies and gentlemen. Those are your two starting quarterbacks for the Washington football team tonight. Your starter is going to be Garrett Gilbert, backed up by Kyle Shermer. That announced by several folks on Twitter right now, as far as the as far as the National Football League is concerned. So you've got that game coming up tonight. You've got the football team taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. And also coming up tonight, you've got the Seattle Seahawks taking on the LA Rams. Both those games are going to be Fox games. I know one of them is going to be here in the Eastern Iowa area. I am not positive on which one that is. Good news tonight, if you are a college basketball fan and a fan of the Iowa Hawkeyes, as the Iowa Southeastern Louisiana game, which was slated at one time for Big Ten Plus Mark, is now moved to regular Big Ten Network tonight. That due to cancellation. So Iowa Southeastern Louisiana, you will all be able to take that in tonight on the Big Ten Network at 7 o'clock.
That's good for a lot of folks that want to take a look at what Iowa looks like after the Utah State game. Shouldn't be much of a game tonight, and probably won't be much of a crowd.
Decent crowd right now, according to Jeff Linder of the Gazette, for a Tuesday afternoon, 2 o'clock start. But the Iowa women in action right now as the Hawkeyes taking on IUPUI, Indiana University, Purdue University, Indianapolis. And right now, the Hawkeyes with a 17-point lead late in the third quarter. It is 56-39. The significance of this game today is the fact that Caitlin Clark, 1 year and two handfuls of games into her second season, is already on the cusp of 1,000 career points for the Iowa women's basketball team, as she needs seven more to reach that 1,000-point plateau. That's getting out of the blocks pretty quick.
That's very impressive. Her average is down this year, but she's still producing at a high level. She has 15 points today. So far, Monica Zanotto leading the way with 17.
True. 319-366-1600. Mark will get an update on that as we get to the bottom of the hour with an Evil Sideway scoreboard update for you as that continues. Mark, there has never been more more eyes, at least with associated with the Emil Sideway pick six, than there are today on a bowl game from Chile, Boise, Idaho, on the blue turf, which, by the way, we'll get to in a moment. But Kent State and Wyoming going at it. Big significance as far as the Emil Sideway pick six is concerned for us and three of our listeners today.
That's true. You picked Kent State. Dave and I picked Wyoming. However, Dave gained an edge last night. He was the only one of the three of us to pick Minnesota to cover in that game last night. So Dave is leading. And guess what? He's already locked up the tiebreaker. virtually assured, Dave is going to probably win this thing, although it's not locked up. We'll make more picks on Thursday.
It is not locked up. My Golden Flashes right now own a 7-point lead over Wyoming. I've got that in three. And I believe I was the only one to take the Flash fast, right?
You are correct. And the remaining game on the slate is Army and Missouri. That comes up tomorrow, the Armed Forces Bowl. They picked Army, and you and I picked Missouri, the underdog, getting 3.5.
There you go. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. By the way, if you are watching this game on ESPN right now, you already know this, but you will need to shade your eyes a little bit. This may be the worst uniform playing surface combination in college football history going on as we speak, because you've got Wyoming with their very unique brown and gold color scheme. So they have brown jerseys, gold pants. You've got Kent State, who thought it would be a fine idea to wear all gold today. So now you've got gold, and brown on a blue playing surface. This thing looks like a bad 1970s thing going right now in Boise, Idaho.
I dropped some eye drops in and put my sunglasses on. Still doesn't help.
It doesn't help. But it's so far it's been entertaining because we've had three touchdowns in one quarter. And for me, even more entertaining because two of them belong to Kent State. Do not call them Kent, by the way. We saw that in their notes.
They can score points. There's no doubt about it. Remember, this team played Iowa in Iowa City, lost 30-7. But that was a 16-7 game at halftime, and it kind of gave Iowa some fits. Iowa was coming out, I think, if I have my schedule correct, Iowa coming off that Iowa State game, so maybe a little bit down. But Kent State only 7-6, but they can score.
They just can't stop anyone else from scoring.
Right.
That's kind of the problem right now. Ben, by the way, working on Christmas lights in his little area right there. Do you have some lights out, Ben, over there? Yeah? Okay. Do you have any replacement bulbs? Nope. Well, you may have to make a run to the store or ask Santa for some. We'll see how it plays out. But, yeah, he's trying to get his very nattily clad producer's area over there looking good. And keeping it up right there. A-plus effort, by the way, Ben. 319-366-1600 as we come your way here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. We'll keep you updated, as I mentioned, on Iowa and IUPUI. Mark will have an update on that. Also, we've got wrestling coming up later on today. You and I in action earlier today. Mark will get you updated on the scoreboard on that as well. But Iowa and North Carolina State are going to go at it down at in Florida a little bit later on. Biggest test to date, I would imagine, for the Iowa wrestling team. Mark talked about this particular matchup last Wednesday when we had him on. We will have Mark coming up tomorrow as well. Looking forward to that. Mark Ironside to talk college wrestling. And he said that this was going to be, if indeed it was going to be Iowa, North Carolina State, it was going to be a tough duel. And that is exactly what is going to happen. And with perhaps with that in mind, Iowa last night kind of under the radar set sail with two of their hammers into the lineup last night. A lot of people happy to see Spencer Lee and Abe Assad getting a chance to wrestle last night.
Spencer Lee opened against Central Michigan with a 17-0 win and followed it up against the Lehigh wrestler, who was ranked 11th in the country. Lee shut him out 8-0.
And was mad.
What's that?
And was mad at himself.
Yeah, he always is. 8-0 isn't good enough for Spencer Lee. But Tom Brands was very impressed, but Spencer Lee was back and outscored opponents 25-0. That's pretty impressive. Now Iowa carries a 23-match dual meet win streak into this afternoon, tonight's duel against number 5, North Carolina State. And yeah, Mark Ironside said whether it would be North Carolina State or Missouri, it would be a very difficult test. And we'll see how that pans out.
Yeah, we'll see. We shall see how it all plays out. But going to be interesting to say the least. And yeah, Spencer Lee was a big winner last night, was not super happy. Iowa got the shutout in the first matchup, as expected. Lost a couple of matches to Lehigh. And we'll see how North Carolina State goes. I believe that's a 5:30 start for that meet. And that will be, again, down in Florida. 319-366-1600. 16 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. On the text line, David and Hudson with a good question, Mark. What do you guys think about the depth chart? He is not liking the quarterback or running back spots. And where is Terry Roberts? Yeah, Iowa came out with a pre-bowl game depth chart earlier today, released by the University of Iowa football program. If you're wondering, Spencer Petras listed as quarterback 1 for the bowl game. And I am not surprised about that. Spencer Padilla listed as the number 2. As far as running backs are concerned, Ivory Kelly Martin is the new number 1, at least going into the bowl game. Gavin Williams listed as a co-number 2. I think we're going to see Williams a whole lot. I think they're probably going to split carries, Mark, as far as the running back load is concerned. That'd be my guess anyway in the Citrus Bowl. What say you?
Yeah, I think it's a good nod to give Ivory Kelly Martin a start, a senior who's been on the leadership group, been a captain, and give him a nod. It doesn't mean he's going to play the whole game or the bulk of the game. But I think it's a nice gesture to throw him in there and give him a start. Spencer Petras, Alex Padilla. I have no problem with Spencer Petras. Why do people think Alex Padilla gives Iowa a better chance to win? Because he's a little more mobile. Certainly not as accurate.
They both
Let
might
us know, play. 319-366-1600.
They both might play. Who knows? It might could be an injury situation. You hope not, but an inkling situation. Funny feeling in the pit of his stomach as far as Kirk Ferentz is concerned. I mean, we'll have to wait and see. But, yeah, I think Padilla and – well, I think Petras is the guy. And Kirk Ferentz does not make these changes willy-nilly. And I like I said, I am not surprised at all that Spencer Petras is the number one. Terry Roberts still hurt the way it sounds. Looks like Harris will be at one corner. He is listed at the number one there. And Cooper DeJean is listed as the backup, the true freshman out of Oldebolt Arthur Battle Creek, Ida Grove. And I don't think that's going to change a whole lot. Matt Hankins sounds like he is going to be a no-go for the bowl game for sure. And it looks as though if you just connect the dots, Terry Roberts also is not going to be available for the bowl game.
Yeah, I think that's quite true. And we know that Tyler Goodson is not going to play. We talked about the running back depth chart at this point. So it all factors into how we're going to pick this game in about a week on the Emos Hideaway pick six. But, you know, Padilla is 55 of 112. Two TDs, two interceptions in his starts this year. Is that winning football? I don't know. I don't want to. I think Petrus is just fine. He's got 18 career starts. He's 13-5 and during that time. I think he won 10 or 12 in a row. Wait, the defense won 10 or 12 in a row. I'm sorry. But he was the starting quarterback. Let it breathe, people.
Yeah, 31-35. Yes, Petrus, the reason why people want Padilla to play over Petrus is the mobility. And I want to give the nod to Petrus for accuracy. I think it is very lenient. I watched him skip more balls into the out pattern than I cared to remember out there. What was the stats on Padilla again?
55 of 112.
No, that's Petrus, isn't it?
No.
Well, Padilla didn't throw 112, did he? Are you looking at... That can't be right.
I'm reading from the Iowa release. 55 of 112, 636 yards in 2021. That doesn't sound like it, does it?
No, it doesn't. Hey, we're going to give you a call right back because Darth Vader has come into your abode again and taken over as far as your connection is concerned. We'll get that taken care of here. Ben is on it. 325, back with you on the Gym Class on KGYM. Adam Rittenberg is going to join us in just a few minutes. Looking forward to talking college football with Adam. And don't forget, following us, it's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. And they'll have your next chance to win, to go four tickets to go see the special screening of American Underdog, the Kurt Warner story. Seeing more and more people out getting their first glimpses at the movie. Kurt's former principal at Regis, then high school, now middle school. We got to see that. Saw a picture of them coming out of the theater. So, yeah, they'll have your chance to win a four-pack of tickets to the Cedar Rapids showing. That will be coming up on December the 30th at the Marcus Theater in Cedar Rapids. And they'll have that between 4 and 6. Iowa State basketball tonight. We'll join up with the Cyclone Network at 6 o'clock. As Iowa State, 6:05 tip-off as they take on Chicago State. The Cougars tonight at James H. Hilton Coliseum in Ames. Iowa State, a big favorite in that one. You are back, I believe.
I am back.
All right. See, when you said 112 passes by Alex Padilla, somebody pulled the plug.
No, it's true. That is what he's thrown this year.
Is it really 112?
He started three games, played in five, yeah.
Well, that makes sense, I guess.
I mean, he threw 28 times at Northwestern, 24 times against Minnesota, Illinois 17, Nebraska 14, Michigan 15. Yeah, 55 of 112.
All right.
In five games.
There you go. So I will never doubt you again, Mark.
Well, yeah, Mr. Elusive, his rushing stats, 14 carries minus 13 yards.
319-366-1600 here at 327. Did you see Kent State got a field goal, by the way? 17-7.
Yeah, I put another set of eye drops in. And I'm, yeah.
Very good. Very good out there. We mentioned NFL football coming up tonight, a pair of games, and there is talk with some more teams having COVID problems, namely the Kansas City Chiefs. Five Chiefs are now in COVID protocol. Travis Kelce was the first yesterday, four more today, including Tyreek Hill, tight end Blake Bell, so two tight ends for the Chiefs. Now they are... According to all of the accounts, everyone is basically asymptomatic. A runny nose is about the only thing that has been out there as far as the any of those players are concerned. Not to take it lightly or anything like that. That is not my point. Now there's speculation out there. Okay, the NFL is looking at it. They're going to move the game from Sunday to Tuesday. I don't know, quite frankly, how it's all going to play out. And we're just going to have to wait and see on this. But we'll enjoy two football games tonight with some significance to them. The NFC East is the Dallas Cowboys territory right now. We do know that. But you've got the Washington football team and Philadelphia both at 6-7. One of those teams, more than likely, unless there's a tie, is going to go to 7-7 and be in line for a possible wild card spot, because the NFC from basically 6 on to the end is kind of a dumpster fire right now. As far as those teams are concerned, we'll have to wait and see how it all plays out. Somebody may get hot, but who knows? Your Bears last night fell to the Vikings, and 17-9, Vikings or the Bears getting a touchdown very, very late in that ball game to make it to look a little bit closer. All the Vikings wins this year have been single digits. I did read that last night, which is wearing on Viking fans. Be happy you got a win, Viking fans. That's what you got to concentrate on at this present time, anyway. But it wasn't the blowout a lot of people thought it was going to be last night, though.
And Minnesota got to 7-7, and I don't think it played particularly well against the Chicago dumpster fire. But you know, the Chicago missing all four defensive backs. I thought, you know, all in all, those guys that the replacements played quite well, and I think one of the national guys was making the point, you know, we've got these COVID problems and replacements coming in. You know, there's a reason they are the starters. But, you know, these guys that are coming in have played a lot of football, maybe not in the NFL, and have a lot of talent. They're just not quite as good as some of the starters. So it's not like you're throwing you and me out there to try to guard Jefferson, you know. These guys know what football is all about. They are just not quite as good as the starters. And consequently, you're maybe on practice squads and whatnot. So, you know, it's a war of attrition right now.
It is. And speaking of that, the ESPN coming out with a report today about the NBA. Christmas game day time, Christmas day game times. That's hard to say. Christmas day game times could shift in the NBA due to COVID. The NHL is shut down basically through Christmas. They're done. They'll pick it up after Christmas, and hopefully everything will get better as far as that is concerned. 319-366-1600. We need to get to Adam Rittenberg, but before that, we're going to bring you an Emil Sideway scoreboard update brought to you by Emil Sideway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot. And what do we have on the scoreboard today?
That's getting a little dicey in Iowa City as the Iowa women are taking on IUPUI. And it's now Iowa 69-65 as IUPUI has made a flurry of threes, cut a double-digit deficit down to 4. Late in the fourth quarter. So we'll see if the Hawkeyes can hang on. You talked about the collegiate duels in Niceville, Florida. Iowa went 2-0 last night. You and I 0-2 against two very good teams, including Penn State. The Panthers came back earlier today and beat Hofstra 33-9. And as mentioned, Iowa and North Carolina State coming up at 5 or a little bit after that. We talked about Minnesota and Chicago last night. Amir Smith-Marset, former Iowa wide receiver, caught his first career NFL touchdown pass for the Vikings. Marked the first time a former Iowa wide receiver caught a touchdown pass in the NFL since Tim DeWhite in 2007, 14 years ago. And finally, update from the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. Kent State up 17-7 midway through the second quarter.
And driving.
And we got a good one tonight, Scott, I think. And it's the subject of our poll question at KGYMradio.com. Who wins tonight's Frisco Bowl, UTSA or San Diego State? Thanks to Steve Anderson and his team in Iowa City at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. I think it's an underrated game right there.
It is. UTSA is good. Saw them earlier in the year. Kent State just missed a field goal. I'm not anti-Wyoming, by the way. I'm just trying to win the pick six for my contestant. 319-366-1600. Yeah, the Roadrunners are good. That is a good football team. They're fun, too. Very fun to watch. And I think that'll be an entertaining game coming up tonight. All right, we'll take a break, and we'll come back. We'll get caught up with Adam Rittenberg. Talk some college football with Adam right after this.
Make this holiday extra special with a beautiful gift from Siegel's Jewelry. Right now, during the holiday diamond sale, gorgeous diamond bracelets, diamond pendants, and diamond studs are all up to 70% off. 1 carat total weight lab-grown diamond earrings retail price $14.95, now $6.95. Siegel's now carries lab-grown and mined diamonds. Easy layaway options or trade in your gold for added savings. Siegel's Jewelry, one block south of Town and Country Shopping Center on First Avenue.
There's always something special at Siegel's.
When it comes to choosing a Medicare Advantage plan, Blue is affordable. Blue is convenient. Blue is staying healthy. And now, Blue is Medicare Advantage from Wellmark Advantage Health Plan. All-in-one plans, including medical and drug coverage, plus health benefits like dental, vision, hearing, fitness, and more. Some available at $0 premiums. Compare plans at WellmarkAdvantage.com. Wellmark Advantage Health Plan is a PPO and an HMO plan with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in Wellmark Advantage Health Plan depends on contract renewal.
Get in on the action with the world's largest sports book. Right at your fingertips. Circa Sports Iowa is where the pros play. Enjoy the highest limits, lowest takeouts, and competitive betting menus. Download, fund, and bet from anywhere in Iowa. Circa Sports Iowa. Sports betting the way it should be. Download your new bookie today. Visit CircaSports.com. Must be over 21 and present in Iowa to bet. Have a gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Since being the first to make wiper blades over a century ago, Trico has protected drivers in any weather. We're always looking ahead, studying your specific driving conditions so you'll be ready for anything. Like, if it actually rains cats and dogs, you can handle every soggy Siamese and drenched Doberman. Your Trico wipers maintain maximum windshield contact for safe, clear driving visibility, whatever the weather. Trico, the future of wipers since 1917. Visit TricoCatsAndDogs.com.
Progressive wants your pets to be their best selves, so we cover them in our auto policy, and we created this self-empowerment series just for them.
You are lying paws up on the sofa. A human caresses the itchy spot behind your left ear, as another human feeds you a slice of cheese. Your ancestors are wolves.
Get coverage for your pets with an auto policy from Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage for cats and dogs included with the purchase of collision coverage and is subject to policy terms.
We are back at 3:37 on the Jim Glass. Adam Rittenberg to join us coming up in just a moment as we will talk college football with Adam. It is getting nail-biting, white-knuckle time at Carver. It's a two-point game right now between Iowa and IUPUI, Mark. This would be a bad loss for the Hawkeyes. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, credit to IUPUI, and this is not what Lisa Bluder envisioned when she put that team on the schedule. So we'll keep you up to date on that. One-point game right now.
Yeah,
71.
Yeah, one-point game. That will be interesting. That will be interesting. We will have to wait and see how this goes and how it plays out, but it's getting right down to the nitty-gritty out there. 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. And tomorrow, Mark Ironside will join us to talk college wrestling. And Chris Liss of RotoWire.com also joining us to talk fantasy football. We'll do that on the Wednesday edition of the show. But right now, very happy to bring in our friend Adam Rittenberg. And Adam, of course, does a tremendous job as far as ESPN is concerned. senior college football writer, joining us here at the as we embark on bowl season 2021. I love bowl season, Adam, by the way. I'm going to go on record at saying that, but happy bowl season to you.
Yeah, happy bowl season as well. I picked all the bowls on the day the matchups came out, as I do every year. It's one of our most trafficked stories. And I guess they haven't had a result yet today, but I'm only 5-5, which is very disappointing. So it's been a bit of a disappointing start in terms of that, but definitely great to have the bowl games. Hopefully we'll continue to have them. Obviously there's, a lot of issues right now in sports, right, with COVID and how that impacts things. But so far the college bowls have all gone off and been played.
Yep. Wyoming has just scored, by the way. It's now 17-13. Kent State out in front. Again, do not adjust your sets with the brown and gold, golden gold on blue turf. It's a miracle of modern science out there. All right, let's get to Iowa and Kentucky in the Citrus Bowl. I guess your first thoughts about that matchup, how you see things in Orlando playing out on New Year's Day.
Yeah, well, my instinct is to take the under if you're a wagering type. Both these teams, as you know, are much more rooted on the defensive side of the ball. Clearly, Iowa has won games based on their defense and their special teams all season, and that's probably going to be the formula once again. Kentucky had some turnover issues early this year, well, for much of the season, honestly, and I think that's what Iowa's going to be trying to do is to continue to build on that incredible takeaways total, which has really been the hallmark of this team all year. Even when they struggled to win games, they were always taking the ball away. So I think that's going to be the key for them on defense. And then, for Kentucky, they have a little bit more explosiveness on offense, I think, than Iowa does. Wandale Robinson's over there, a transfer from Nebraska, and some others. But they've been up and down, I would say, much of the year on offense and have really relied on their defense to win games. So, two teams that I think are somewhat similar. You obviously have a great connection with Mark Stoops being an Iowa guy. And, if you like defense and running the football, this is probably a good game for you.
If you'd have had Iowa State and Clemson in a bowl game, it probably would mean Iowa State is better than 7-5, but that's not the case. They will get together. No Breece Hall for Iowa State. Obviously a big impact. How big, Adam?
Yeah. I mean, he's a significant player. He's one of the best running backs in the country. And so that's a tough, but not a surprising situation for Iowa State. They had to anticipate the likelihood of Breece turning pro and not participating in this game. And so, how does that affect their offensive plan? We'll see if it's a little bit more passing oriented. Clemson's gone through a lot of their own turnover, mainly on the coaching staff with Tony Elliott and Brent Venables both moving on as coordinators to become head coaches at Virginia and Oklahoma. So how that affects Clemson's approach will be kind of interesting to watch. Clemson has been, a defensive driven team. This has not been your typical Clemson offense by any means. They've really struggled. So, much like the Iowa-Kentucky game, I think you look at these two defenses as sort of the stars of the show in this bowl game. And, we'll see. Again, you're right. Iowa State, if you're going to raise expectations, you have to be understand that it's going to be a disappointment when you don't meet them. And that's absolutely the case this year, is that this is a massive disappointment. And there's only one way to look at it. And now the only what they can do from here is to win a bowl game and spin it forward, presumably with Matt Campbell as the head coach. That's the biggest plus for Iowa State. But, definitely both these teams expected much more than the Cheez-It Bowl this year.
Well, I was just going to ask you the back half of that question. You said Iowa State, a disappointing season. I think Dabo Swinney also is going through that as well. Clemson's not used to playing on December the 29th in Orlando. They're used to be playing on New Year's Eve in the college football playoff game. How big a game is this for Clemson and the Tiger program?
Yeah, it's a great question because, motivation level is always such a big factor with these bowl games, especially when a team, like you said, is used to being in the playoff and they're used to being in on the biggest stages and in the highest profile spotlight. And so that might be an advantage for Iowa State. I don't think Iowa State's program is at a point where, even though, yes, this is a disappointing season, and I think all those players and coaches would say that, you know, they haven't been to the playoff, and they haven't gotten too used to being in a bowl game. So I think they're going to be certainly motivated. How Clemson comes out, you know, it sort of remains to be seen. I do think there's some motivation on the offensive side to end this, you know, season on a good note, because it's been such a struggle for a quarterback, DJ Uiagalelei, and really that entire unit. Now Dabo has gone completely internal with his promotions, and so it's not a situation where you have new coaches that haven't joined the staff yet that are, you know, working the bowl. Everybody's been there, so that's something that should help Clemson a little bit. But it's always a bit of a crapshoot in terms of what do they want to be there. And Clemson, you know, well, I guess we'll find out, but I can assure you Iowa State will be ready to go.
Adam, I want to get your thoughts on the most impactful head coaching hire that we've seen so far. Is it Lincoln Riley?
Yeah, I think it is, just because, of what he's done in his, you know, somewhat brief tenure at Oklahoma, and then what he could do at a program like USC, which, you know, a lot of people have said, if they get the right coach in there with the right support, you know, to surround that person, that they can once again be a national power and a team that's always in the playoff conversation. And I think Lincoln Riley is that type of coach. He's going to recruit, and he already is recruiting at a really good level. They're going to be a destination program for quarterbacks. I mean, Bryce Young, who won the Heisman, just the latest quarterback from Southern California to leave. He was once committed to USC. You know, under Lincoln Riley, you're not losing those types of players. Now, are they going to have enough to win a national championship there? And how soon will that happen? You know, that'll be interesting to watch. But in terms of just a transformational type hire for a program that had been, you know, not meeting its standard for a decade, you know, that to me was really the most significant. And I commend USC because, you know, they had a very detailed plan. You know, there are a lot of schools that were in the market this year for coaches, but USC was truly prepared for it. And you saw that in how they went about courting Lincoln Riley and ultimately convincing him to be the head coach, because he certainly could have stayed at Oklahoma. He could have looked at the NFL. And there was something about this USC opportunity that attracted him, even though that program has not been part of the CFP and you know, really wasn't even in the BCS championship race for a number of years before he arrived. So, again, huge for USC and huge for really that entire region, the Pac-12, the West Coast. That will be a program that will command attention now that Lincoln Riley's the head coach.
Yeah. Adam Rittenberg joining us, talking college football with you on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here at 3:46. 3 months ago, midpoint of the college regular season, if I said Brian Kelly would be the new head coach at LSU, what would you have said?
Yeah, I would have been surprised, right? I mean, I just thought, you know, BK had some, flirtations early in his time at Notre Dame with the NFL, and, you know, you always wondered, you know, Kirk Herbstreit kept bringing him up, and Kirby knows a lot, obviously, as you guys know. He brought him up more for the USC job, but I just didn't sense that LSU was something that he was interested in at this stage in his career, very much in that legacy-building stage at Notre Dame. And instead, he's a new head coach on the Bayou, and it's going to be fascinating because you know, he hasn't worked in that part of the country. Doesn't mean he can't have success. LSU's had a number of coaches who aren't homegrown who have still done really, really well there. But it'll be a really interesting final piece, most likely, of Brian Kelly's legacy, because he's won everywhere he's been. Whether you like him or you don't like him or you're neutral on Brian Kelly, you have to respect the fact that he has been a consistent winner, and he won the games at Notre Dame he was supposed to win. If you do that at LSU, you're going to be in position to contend for the SEC and the CFP, you know, quite often. Now, how his staff comes together, how they recruit, you know, whether, you know, he can really integrate himself well into that league and that environment remains to be seen. But it's probably, you know, Lincoln might be the most impactful hire, guys, but Brian Kelly might be the most interesting.
Adam, how about your thoughts on the two college football playoff semifinals?
Right. So I think these are, it's just, first of all, it's nice to have some new teams in there. Obviously, Alabama has been in a bunch. You know, Georgia, it's been a few years since they were last in the playoff. And then Michigan and Cincinnati have never been part of it. Cincinnati, the first group of five team. I really think starting with Georgia, Michigan, it's fascinating because Michigan is undoubtedly the more confident team going in. And, you know, that's what that loss to Georgia did, and also the way Michigan finished the season, you know, beating Ohio State definitively, beating Iowa definitively, you're playing their two best games, in my opinion, on the most important stages to punch their ticket into the college football playoff, and then they take on a Georgia team that's rattled a little bit, or could be, you know, rattled after that loss to Alabama. You know, two very similar teams in terms of, you know, very good on defense, really good up front on defense, both like to run the ball. How successful they'll be running the ball remains to be seen. You know, neither quarterback is really a decorated guy. Neither of them is really looked at as an NFL prospect, but both have played really well for their teams this year. So excited to see how that one goes. And then with Alabama and Cincinnati, you know, again, it's going to be really tough for Cincinnati. But the one thing that they have that Georgia really didn't have and that Alabama probably hasn't seen is a cornerback tandem that I think might be the best in college football this year with Kobe Bryant and Ahmad Gardner, Sauce Gardner. Both have had All-America recognition. They're going up against an Alabama receiving core. You have Jamison Williams, who's one of the best receivers in college football, but then they just lost John Metchie, unfortunately, their number two guy, to a knee injury. So they're a little shorthanded. Can they put pressure on Bryce Young? Are they able to attack downfield offensively, which has kind of been their bread and butter? Are they able to run the ball? If they can't do one of those things or more of those things, it's probably not going to be a close game. Just because Bryce Young is that good and Alabama is obviously much more familiar with the stage. But I am fascinated to see how an elite-level secondary with those two cornerbacks can perform against Alabama's strength, which has obviously been throwing the football.
Yeah, and here we are again. Alabama so close. I mean, the Auburn game, that could have put Alabama out as far as the national championship. And here they are, the number one seed. And probably the favorite to win another college football playoff and another national championship. I mean, that's how wacky college football is.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it would have been really interesting, Scott, if they'd lost to Auburn. It still would have been in the SEC title game. Would it have been a repeat? Would we have seen that dominant performance? Because that still gets them in the playoff. Probably not as the one seed, but they're going to get in no matter what, as long as they beat Georgia. But would that Auburn game have essentially, you know, kind of broken their spirit a little bit to lose to your rival, very mediocre Auburn team? You know, the Alabama played terribly offensively for most of the game. So, yeah, you wonder what if how that would have been different and how it could have shaped things, whether Notre Dame gets in the playoff or Baylor gets in the playoff. But once again, it's Alabama, and once again, they have a great quarterback who's poised to lead them to a national title.
Very true. And the magic crystal ball for looking ahead, there's spring ball, obviously, and hopefully everything will be even more back to normal next year. But you take a look at things. Iowa going into 2022 got to be looked at as a very, very strong contender, if not the favorite in the West, based on everything that Iowa has coming back, even if Tyler Linderbaum goes to the NFL draft, which a lot of people anticipate. But With the amount of folks that Iowa has coming back, this could be a very memorable year shaping up for Kirk Ferentz and company.
Oh, indeed. But again, I think so much of it relies on that offense, and can they find some pieces or develop some pieces to be more formidable? Because this defense is really, really good and historically good as far as takeaways. And I just think LeVar Woods does an outstanding job with their special teams. I think he's one of the best two or three special teams coordinators in the country, but they're that far behind on offense. I mean, they really need to take a step forward. Maybe they can win the West this way again, but I think it's going to be tough if they're not a lot better at quarterback, if their passing game isn't better, if they're not better on the offensive line. Tyler Linderbaum will go to the NFL. I think I'd be stunned if he chose to stick around. He's proven everything he needs to prove and should go make his money as one of the top offensive centers in the NFL. So you're going to lose that piece. I just have a lot of questions on the offensive side, coaching-wise, personnel-wise, development-wise, transfer portal. You know, that's going to be a really interesting, you know, just unit to watch throughout the offseason, because you guys are right about the other two phases. Defense, special teams should be great, but they have a big gap to close on offense.
True. All right, Adam, enjoy the college football season. Happy holidays to you and yours, and always enjoy talking with you and keep up the great work with ESPN.
All right, guys, happy holidays. Thanks for having me on.
You betcha. Adam Rittenberg joining us here, senior college football writer for ESPN. While we were talking to Adam, Mark, Wyoming has put two touchdowns up against the non-existent Kent State defense.
That's not the most surprising result in the last few minutes. A stunner in Iowa City, IUPUI, has beaten the 15th-ranked Iowa Hawkeye women by a point.
Yeah, bad loss for Lisa Bluder and company, needless to say. IUPUI was a 500 team coming in. One of their top players, Madison Wise, grad transfer from Bill Fenley in Iowa State, probably pretty darn happy at this present time. But, yeah, Iowa had a shot with 3 seconds to play. They got it in to Monica Sonano and had about a 12-foot fadeaway just inside the free throw line, and she came up short. And that was all she wrote. And Iowa gives up a 17-point lead and loses to IUPUI. Tough one indeed right there for the Iowa women. 319-366-1600 as we come your way here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM as the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn and Spencer coming your way next. He is in here in studio. He's ready to go, getting everything assembled, taking a look at the shading his eyes from the blue turf and the brown and gold color schemes there with Kent State and Wyoming. Back come the golden flashes. Just like that, Mark, as we speak, you can't contain them. Of course, they can't contain anyone else, so we'll see how it all plays out. Frisco Bowl comes up tonight, as you mentioned, and also coming up tonight, Iowa basketball, Iowa Southeastern Louisiana. Iowa State will take on Chicago State coming up tonight as well. And we also have two NFL games. So a pretty jam-packed Tuesday night for Christmas week.
It is indeed in the last round of, high school basketball before the holiday break.
Correct. We'll be at Xavier tonight for CRM Live Sports. Xavier hosting Washington tonight in Mississippi Valley Conference play. Should be a big crowd. Two good rivals going at it for that one. 7:20 tonight with the pregame, and find the link on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. Just go to CRM Live Sports, and we'll be back at it tomorrow. We will talk to Mark Ironside, talk college wrestling. We'll take a look back at tonight's Iowa-North Carolina State meet and what happened down in Florida. Look ahead to the Midlands, which will be coming up next Tuesday and Wednesday as well, outside of Chicago. I think it's still hosted by Northwestern, but it's not on the Northwestern campus anymore. So a little bit of a change right there over the last couple of years anyway. But we'll talk about that. And Chris Liss from rotowire.com to answer your fantasy football questions coming up tomorrow as well. So a busy Wednesday edition of the program and a BNA preview as well. No holidays in bowling, Mark. We are going full blast tomorrow night anyway. We'll see how it all goes as we try to get back on the winning track of things. All right. We will talk with you coming up tomorrow at 3 o'clock, and we will have a busy show, and looking forward to that. Enjoy your sports night out there, okay?
I will indeed. We'll talk tomorrow.
We will. Stay tuned, as it will be Todd, Alex, and Spencer coming your way next with the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. That comes up from 4 until 6. Your next chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to see American Underdog and that special screening at the Marcus Theater in Cedar Rapids on December 30th. That comes your way between 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock. Touchdown, Kent State! Good night, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
If you were lied to when buying a timeshare and worn out, you need my help. Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started the timeshare cancellation industry by exposing the ugly